It's my new obsession. Yeah, pink, it's not even a question. Pink on the lips of your lover. Cause pink is the love you discover.
Welcome to the Marilyn York Show. Warning, this program is not for the faint of heart. Listen at your own peril. If you have questions about marriage, relationships, or divorce, call 823-1920. And now, here's your host, Marilyn York.
Good morning, my lovelies. It's Marilyn York on The Marilyn York Show, and I have a wonderful guest in my studio today, Dorothy Nash Holmes. Welcome this morning, Dorothy.
Good morning, Marilyn.
She is running for local municipal court judge in Reno, and we're going to talk to her about the municipal court, which most of you who are listening know not a damn thing about, I bet. So you're going to learn something today.
That's the problem.
Exactly. So if you want to call and talk to her or me, you're welcome to at any time. 823-1920. 823-1920 is the call-in number. As always, you can Facebook request or send messages to me that way as well. And again, my Facebook fan page disappeared into thin air and it is not back up. And I don't know if I'm going to put it back up because if they're going to disappear me, it's just not really worth my time. So get on my personal Facebook if you haven't already friend requested me, please do. And we can talk that way or as always, themarilynyorkshow.com. So Dorothy, let's start with what the heck a municipal court judge does first.
Well, a lot of people get mixed up with justice court and municipal court.
Including me.
Yep. It's the court of lowest jurisdiction, so it's starting at the bottom. Justice court is the county. Municipal court is the city. So there's one in city of Reno. There's one in city of Sparks. The one in Reno has four judges. The one in Sparks has a couple judges. And so these courts handle misdemeanors like DUI, very important handling those kind of cases, domestic violence, lots of, minor in possession of alcohol, vandalism, the misdemeanor crimes that are committed in the city of Reno, and also some like business violations, massage parlor without a license.
I was going to say, contractors without a license I've seen in there.
Yeah, there's been some stuff, it's basically business licensing. There's no small claims. That's done in justice court. They don't do evictions. They don't do preliminary hearings for felonies. That's all in justice court. So it's the people's court. It's everyone's court. I call it everyone's court because I figure I've been there before on traffic tickets, and I figure everyone's going to be there one time or another.
I'm going to call everyone but my mother's court. Only person I know that doesn't speed.
Well, I don't know. I just heard on the radio coming in on this station about a little old lady that got cited for going 6 miles under the speed limit. She was going 34 instead of 40, so they might get her the other way.
She won't. Nope. She's way too Ohio to do anything but what she's told. So if it says 40, she stays at 39. So maybe they'll ticket her for that. It would be hilarious if they did. She'd have a heart attack. So the municipal court judge, who are you running against?
I'm running against the incumbent, Jim Van Winkle. He's been in there 14 years. He was appointed. In fact, one of the reasons I'm running, and this is what made my final decision, every judge that's ever served in Department 3 was appointed by the city council.
Okay.
There's only been one contested election in 21. The last one was 21 years ago. There's only been one ever, and that was in 1989. And if you count the other four courts, there's only been two candidate elections in the last 18 elections. That takes you back almost 30 years. And I just think that's outrageous.
They just walk in and go to sleep. That's the end.
Right, they do. The people have had no part, no voice in selecting their city judges at all. They've had no choice for years and years and years, and I just think it's time. So that's my campaign, basically.
Very interesting. And those of you who are drinking and driving while you're listening to me, you better call because this is important to you with DUI court being in there. Let's be honest.
Well, that's part of the huge thing. I mean, I was a federal prosecutor. I was a state prosecutor.
Let's talk about your background, actually, because it's very interesting to me. And as a woman, it's significant. I mean, you were the district attorney and the only female district attorney. So let's go back. What is your background? When were you a district attorney?
Well, okay. I went to law school at McGeorge in Sacramento because Nevada was one of two states that did not have a law school at that time, and most, went right over the hill to Sacramento.
Old school, we do not count.
Well, we do, actually. They're having the 25th anniversary this afternoon.
Some people graduated locally from it, but I'm not counting it.
Yes, they did. Well, that was a short-lived time. Yeah. But so I went to McGeorge. I graduated law school and got my license here in 77. I went and took the Cal Bar in 78. My first job was with the district attorney's office. You know, Reno being the small town that it is, Cal Dunlap was then the assistant DA for Larry Hicks, who's now a federal judge. And Cal was my sophomore history teacher in high school.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah, he taught for a couple of years between college and law school. So Cal
went to high school with my dad, too.
Is that right?
In Fallon.
Oh, yeah. Well, we used to sit across the street and spy on him because he was dating an English teacher that lived across from a friend of mine.
So
Cal and I go way back. Cal has always been Cal.
Yes, yes. I dated his son just to...
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Devin.
See, that's why I say this town is so incestuous. It truly, truly is.
I know.
I mean, my nephew, who I work for his law firm now, Tom Valoria, he used to work for me as one of my best prosecutors. 12 years later, he marries my niece. So, I mean,
and they're on opposite sides of the criminal world, which always makes me laugh.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, isn't that interesting? Yeah, but so my first job as an attorney was in the DA's office. I was there 5 years. I did some civil stuff for a few months. I did juvenile law. I then got to go into adult court, and I did every kind of case there is. I did the first cattle rustling case they'd had in 20-some years. In fact, and then when I was DA later, I had another cattle rustling case. It was very interesting.
What is a cattle rustling case?
Stealing cows.
And you're calling it wrestling.
It's rustling.
Oh, rustling. I'm like, is there some wrestling going on?
No, rustling. No, it's stealing cows from a ranch.
Oh, wow. And, that's a big job.
It was interesting. Well, each cow at the time I prosecuted the case as the DA's worth about $1,500 a piece. So it's grand larceny per cow. And I mean, this, you know,
it's a big deal.
Guy went in and rounded up a whole bunch of baby calves.
Oh, wow.
And, it was a very dramatic case. I mean, the cowboy that owned the farm, the ranch, it was like 80 years old, and he came in with his boots on and with stuff on his boots, crudding up the carpet. And he cried when he was telling me what good mothers the cows are. When the babies are, the mother will only mother her own cow. And once the baby's stolen, they stood there and cried. They wouldn't leave the spot.
Oh,
and they're better than parents. You know, parents leave their kids at McDonald's and move out of town. You know, human parents.
In Reno.
Yeah. and this guy, when he went to grand jury, he cried about it. It broke my heart. It was amazing. But we found the cows. We got them back. We sent the bad guys to prison, and it was an amazing case.
Does the mother still recognize her cow baby when it
gets
back?
Yes. In fact, we found them all on a ranch up in Susanville, and they rounded them up and brought them back and just opened the door to the truck and let them go in the field, and each baby went to its own mother. It was amazing. We had it all on videotape for the jury in case we had to go to trial. It was amazing.
That's sweet.
It was sweet. But anyways,
all right, back to your
background. We digress.
A little cow tangent.
So I did 5 years. It sounds like time. I served 5 years in the DA's office, at which time I moved through the ranks. I was actually the first woman to become an assistant chief. They called it a mini chief. And then I became a chief deputy. And I left there and went to the State Department, the U.S. State Department. I had never traveled, you know, and at that time I was divorced and had a daughter, and I really wanted to see the world. So I was with the State Department for a year. I was training to be a foreign service officer, and actually at the end of my training I was supposed to go to the embassy in Mexico, and instead I met my husband on a pirate ship in Barbados, and we got married and went to Paris instead.
That in your background.
That's a whole nother show.
Do you speak French?
I used to speak a little restaurant French, I call
restaurant
it.
Restaurant French.
I still understand it, and same with Spanish. But anyway, so left the State Department, did not take my assignment, went with him to Paris, lived in Paris, lived in Kuwait. My son was born in Kuwait, our son, who's now 25, can't believe it. came back to the States and went to work as a federal prosecutor at the U.S. Attorney's Office in San Francisco, prosecuted international drug smugglers. Did that for a couple of years, came back to Reno, actually worked with a local law firm, Laxalt Nomura, because I worked with them in the DA's office.
And
so I worked with them for a year while I was waiting for a federal prosecutor job to open up here. I got it here, again, international narcotics smugglers. And then I had to quit that job in 1990 to run for DA, because DA is the only legal and judge position in the state that is still partisan. All the rest, sheriff, city attorney, they're all nonpartisan, but not DA.
Oh, wow.
In fact, when I was DA, I went to the political parties and said, we need to make this nonpartisan, and both of them almost ran me out of town.
Yeah, who cares? It's
well, what they said is, this has been a stepping stone in the past. We have governors that were the DA, and
good for them.
They didn't want to let it go. I still think it's a mistake. It should be nonpartisan, but it's not.
So what made you run for DA? I mean, you were the only female in Nevada to ever be DA still.
Well, there's been a couple of females in some of the rural counties. Actually, the year I got elected, two or three other DAs. But, you know, if there's two attorneys in a county and you've had 1 year experience in some of the rurals, you can get elected because there's nobody there.
They have to elect you. Yeah, it's mandatory.
Exactly. Well, you know, I thought I could do a better job than what had been going on in there. I just turned 40. Maybe I got up my gumption. I don't know what it was. But I'd always wanted to do that job. And I had some ideas about fixing and changing the office. And I just said, let's go for it. In fact, I spent all my federal retirement on it.
Oh, wow.
And then spent the next 4 years using my salary to pay off the campaign debt. So I did that, you know. 15 years later, you come back as the elected DA. It was pretty good. It was a tough thing to do, and I swore I'd never run for office again because I don't like the politics of it, but I loved the job. So here I am 20 years later running again.
I know. That's what I was thinking. If you had PTSD from the political campaigning trail, that can't be a fun thing to do.
No, I probably did, actually. And it was we made a lot of changes, quickly. A lot of the changes that I made, Dick Gamek has kept on for the last 16 years. I started the early case resolution process. It was an idea I got from the Sacramento DA. And it worked beautifully. In fact, according to Gamut's estimate, it saves $1.2 million a year.
Wow! That's now the Supreme Court. Exciting.
Well, other courts, other DA's office started it, but the Supreme Court shut it down recently because the public defenders in Las Vegas were kind of screwing it up. They weren't putting any time in to bargain their cases; were just dumping them. So now there's a study on it, but if it's done right, it's extremely effective.
I had Bob Perry on, and he was talking about that program right. and how much he likes it and wants to, get it working again.
It was a great program. We started the death penalty review process because every DA was making up his own decision on whether or not it should be a death penalty case. So there was no consistency, and so we fixed that. We put all the deadbeat parents on TV.
Now, that might be a little too close to home.
I know.
Because if I see my clients on there, I'm going to be pissed.
Well,
it
was on SinCat, so it wasn't. But we made a wanted poster
they
of these parents.
It.
Yeah, and
my clients aren't those
we
people.
Called it Deadbeat Parent Patrol. But the fun part is we increased child support collections from $6 million to $13
million. Good. That's great.
People started bringing in bags of money saying, please don't put me
Take
on TV.
Take me off TV. To hear a word from our sponsors, and we're going to come back and finish talking about Dorothy's background, and then we're going to get into what changes she wants to see in the municipal court and answer some questions from our listeners. We'll talk to you guys in a minute.
Not just news, your chance to talk about it. Fox 1270 in the morning, weekdays at 6 on Fox News Radio 1270.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools and order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. I hate advertising. If I'm being honest, I hate it more than anything. Why should you believe anything I have to say about myself? I'm in the best position to say great things about myself, but you don't know me, and there's no reason for you to trust me. So I'm going to ask you to do one thing. If you need help in family law matters, please ask two people in a town of this size, and you should be able to hear my name. I've been doing this for over 11 years exclusively, and if you can't ask two people you trust about me and hear good things, then I'm not the right attorney for you. On the other hand, I believe you will hear good things about us, and when you do, then we're the law firm for you. At a minimum, you will need legal advice when going through something like this, and you may need representation. Again, this is Marilyn York. Please call us at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit us on the web at marilynyork.net, not com, marilynyork.net.
There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno, the legendary Mustang Ranch Museum, Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes, and they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and his ladies, among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1424. Walk-ins are welcome, too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with T-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, Exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us.
Check it out. It's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Fox 1270.
You're back on the Marilyn York Show with today's guest, Dorothy Nash Holmes, who's running for local municipal court judge. And we were talking about Dorothy's background before we went to a break. And Dorothy and I were just talking on the break, and one of the things we were talking about was drug court. So what was your involvement with our local drug court program, Dorothy, when
it
was initiated?
It's interesting because the incumbent talks about how he set up the first drug court in the city of Reno in 2001, and he did. And I say, thank God. It was 10 years.
Yeah.
Judge McGee and I, when I was the district attorney, 1991, from 94, 91 to 94, Judge McGee and some people approached me as soon as I got in office and said, look, we want to do this sample drug court. Will you go along with it? I said, yes, absolutely. In fact, we named it the DA Act. It was district attorney. The act was acupuncture, counseling, and treatment. And it was treatment in lieu of prosecution for pregnant addicts. If they would come in and get treatment, we would not prosecute them for the drugs. And it was a one-year grant. We worked with a group called Choices Unlimited, which basically ended up doing drug court for the whole Las Vegas court system. And it was a great program. We set the prototype. We set the template for drug court in Nevada. And it breaks my heart that Judge McGee never really gets any credit for that.
He's done so much.
He's a wonderful guy. Well, what happened is we got the idea from Janet Reno's court in Miami. She set up the program there as the prosecutor there. And at the end of our year, Judge Jack Layman called me up from Las Vegas and said, what'd you do and how'd you do it? And I told him the whole thing. I put him in touch with Choices. He then started drug court in Las Vegas. And when it worked real well, then Judge Breen brought it to criminal court and to the other courts in Washoe County.
And we have a juvenile drug court as well.
Right. They have eight of them in Vegas. We have juvenile, you know, family court. They have a specialty court now for mental health, which is really important. And then the biggest thing, and I think this is huge, is a veterans court. Because these poor guys that are coming back from these god-awful wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are messed up. And there's so many Vietnam vets that are messed up. I was deputy director of corrections for 7 years. That's what I retired from in April of 07. And one of the biggest groups in the prison system is Vietnam vets. It's heartbreaking.
I really didn't realize that. So you would, so there is a court for them now?
There is a new, should be? No, there is a new veterans court. In fact, Roger Doyle of our law office, who was in the military for a number of years, Roger helped set it up. So they have a special court for the vets now.
Wow.
And that stuff
good
is important. So I'm big on rehabilitation. When I was the DA, we were looking at ways to solve the problem and not just prosecute people. You know, we perfected the fraud check program and got it really running well and collected the first $1 million from it. We beefed up the child support system to get that. We created the Gang Alternatives Partnership. I worked with Children's Cabinet and John Farahi at Atlantis Casino, Reno PD, and we set up the 4th Church Street Youth Center. And that program ran for 10 years as an alternative to gangs so that kids had something to do. I mean, they literally have a picture in my office of midnight basketball. And it's a gangbanger playing basketball with a cop in uniform.
Oh, I saw that one.
Yeah,
it's
a cool picture, too.
The ball's like in midair.
Yeah, it was a great picture. But this stuff worked for 10 years. And so when I went to deputy director of corrections, we started a new division, the Correctional Programs Division. I wrote grants myself. We ended up with $6 million worth of grants. We did construction training. We did,
I saw that on your website
we did
well.
Mental health. We did. We set up two different drug treatment programs, sex offender programs, youth offender programs, elderly programs. Because you've got to deal with these people once they get in there. Some of them were never getting out of prison. And you've got 97% of them are getting out of prison. So you've got to give them an opportunity to change themselves so they can come out and be better citizens because they're going to live next door to you.
And how does municipal court judge tie into your rehabilitation efforts? I mean, where does it show up in the line of criminal behavior usually?
Well, it is the lowest court judge, you know, and some of the defense attorneys call it criminal justice light, which really offends me. I don't like that because... Felony, you know, DUI is serious. The third time, I mean, you kill somebody or injure somebody, you're going to prison in Nevada.
Yeah.
And
as you should.
Right. And domestic violence is serious. And this is the lowest court where you have the first opportunity to deal with that and to stop that kind of behavior or to impact it. Any misdemeanors, I think it's important that this, like I said, it's the lowest level. It's the first place. I know how this court fits in the system because I've been a federal prosecutor. I've been a state prosecutor for the AG's office. I prosecuted inmate homicide cases. So I've been a DA handling every kind of case, and I've been the DA. I know where this fits in the system, and I know how important it is to do it right. A lot of people read the 5-part series that the Gazette Journal had on DUI and how it was being so screwed up by the courts.
Yeah.
That shouldn't happen. You know,
and that's happening at the municipal court level
for the
most part.
There's a lot of things happening. I mean, sometimes it's overkill. Sometimes it's underkill. I don't know that every person that comes in on a DUI needs to have a SCRAM bracelet. Those cost money.
They cost $10 a day.
A day. Now, that's $300 a month right there just for that.
Yeah, no.
Maybe it needs to be done. I don't know.
They're great if they are useful in a particular case. I wish everyone could wear them when it's appropriate, but they cost a ton of money.
So I think the court is important because it's the first place to impact this kind of behavior. It's also important for another reason because, you know, you come in with a traffic ticket. And this is where everyone basically gets their first impression of the court system.
Sometimes
hopefully.
They're only.
Yeah, they're only. And if they're treated badly, if they're over-sentenced, if they don't get a chance to speak their piece, then they resent the system. Yeah.
And people are intimidated in court, as they should be to some extent. And yeah, that is the biggest complaint, is they didn't hear me. You know, the judge wouldn't listen to me. They wouldn't let me talk.
I've had so many people, civilians, not lawyers, I call them civilians, come up to me and tell me.
We call them humans.
Yeah. Well, come up and say, all I had was a traffic ticket. I wasn't a serial killer. And I was treated so badly and so rude. And they think the court systems all work that way. And they're so resentful afterwards.
That's how I feel about cops, to be honest. When I get pulled over and they give me the condescending kindergarten cop routine.
Yeah.
Do you know why I pulled you over? No, Jack A. But if you don't, can I leave?
Yeah.
Because shut up. Yeah. Oh, it's so obnoxious. They're so rude.
We call that contempt of cop. It's not really a crime, but a lot of times you get cited for it.
Oh, I do get tickets because of my mouth, and I deserve them.
Yeah. Well, you know,
my driving.
The cops work hard, and for in my experience of 33 years, you know, most of the cops, I'd say 99.99% are honest and good and hardworking.
They're good people. I just don't need the attitude.
They put their life on the line, and what they do has to be respected.
They're my favorite
clients, too. Yeah, that's right.
But I still am like, just please not the lecture. I know I'm speeding. I don't need the lecture.
My husband tells a story from when he was young, and he got a ticket. He was in a hurry for a job interview, and he said to the cop, I can take the ticket or the lecture, but not both. Give me one or the other and let me go.
Yeah, no, I always do. You did.
Exactly.
What's your website, Dorothy, so people that are listening can look up your...
It's dorothyforjudge.com. Okay, and then we also have a Facebook connection from that. I have both a personal and a campaign one, and you can go on either of them because I put everything out there like you do. In fact, I put on my Facebook this morning that I was coming here, and it ought to be a lot of fun. So
it's really interesting. I actually read through her whole background, and I know Dorothy. We've had a case against each other recently, and it was really interesting. There was so much to learn, and being of a younger generation, I remember her name when I was a paralegal in 1992, but I didn't know your background per se because I was not paying attention. So it was great to learn. And I encourage the listeners to go read about it because she's one of the first women that's done quite a few things in Nevada. And it's pretty exciting for us.
Well, it's been, you know, I kind of come from pioneer stock. My dad was the first I was born and raised here, but my parents were transplants. My dad was the first sportscaster on KOH radio in the late 30s and early 40s, and the first one on KOLO TV. He went by the old grad, and he pioneered reporting high school sports in Nevada.
Wow.
My mother, who's 95 now, she set up the first women-owned PR agency in Nevada. And she was with League of Women Voters, and she ran the campaign that brought voting machines to Nevada years ago.
Good for her.
When Grant Sawyer ran for governor, she ran his Reno office. So, you know, I mean,
you have the background for
sure.
I do.
So I was honored to be the first woman district attorney in Washoe County, still the only one. I was honored when I went to San Francisco, and I was the first woman they hired on the what was called OCDEF, Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force. That was the name of the unit that did the special prosecutions that I did. It's great to do that. I mean, but there's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, that sounds highly stressful. Yeah.
Well, you know what blew me away? A few years ago, the State Bar of Nevada approached me. They were doing a fundraiser, and they wanted to honor the first 100 women lawyers in Nevada. And I said, well, I can't be in that group. And they said, you are. You're number 75. I said, in 1977, I was only the 75th woman to admitted to practice law in Nevada. It blew me away.
Based on the behavior of my male opposing counsels, I would think that I might be the 17th currently. There's some weird attitudes in this town. We've discussed Casey Campbell and Natalie Reed came on my show. We had a big heckle fest about how we get treated as women still. Yeah. So I can't imagine the grief you got as the first female and only female DA in this small cowboy town.
Well, that would be another good reason to put me on the bench because there's only ever been one woman in that court at all, and that was Jan Berry in 1992. And there's four departments there, so there's never been a woman in any of the others at all. So it's time for a woman's perspective.
And as much as people like to think that we're a gender equal society, we aren't. I'm sorry. I represent men for a living. I have all females working for me, and there are still some gender lines that are clearly drawn in certain instances of the law. And I think that a female perspective gives a different flavor.
Yeah.
I love my female judges in district court. I love my male judges.
Right.
You know, and there are definitely some, I guess, tendencies you can see based on gender that
Let me tell you a funny story. After I was elected DA, Bill Raggio, who was kind of the granddaddy of DAs up till that point, he was in the Senate, and he invited me to the legislature as his guest to introduce me. And we're talking a long time ago. Okay, this is 1991, but the introduction, what my mother at that time was a political reporter, and she worked at the legislature. She covered that. And my mother was kind of a good-looking little thing, red hair. And Bill Raggio introduces me as, this is Dorothy Nash Holm, our new district attorney. If she's got the same kind of gams as her mother, she's going to be good to look at. That was the introduction.
I
got to the Nevada legislature. So hopefully some things have changed. I'm not sure too much. But
although worse things have been said.
I didn't mind that one. There were a lot worse things said later on.
Absolutely.
Well,
it's a perfect thing to go to a break on. Little compliment, and we'll come back and keep talking about the municipal court judge and the things that we hope to change in there. We'll talk to you guys in just a moment.
Michael Savage of Fox News 1270.
Every newspaper in America should be screaming, "Holy man behind the Ground Zero mosque exposed as Islamofascist."
Weekdays at 3.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows, with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools, and order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night, and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. Are you tired of being ignored and mistreated? Don't let your divorce lawyer treat you like your wife did. I thought divorce was about breaking free from the ball and chain. At our office, you get competence with personality and hopefully some laughs to take the edge off. Divorce is hard enough. Don't let your lawyer be part of the pain. Let's be honest. Legal representation is expensive, but often necessary. As the saying goes, everyone hates lawyers until they need one. You can get punished for free by calling your ex. Don't pay your attorney for punishment when you're finally getting rid of her. At a minimum, you need legal advice when you're going through something like this. And you may need representation. If you do, call me, Marilyn York, at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit our website at marilynyork.net, not com.
There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno, the legendary Mustang Ranch Museum, Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes, and they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and his ladies, among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1424. Walk-ins are welcome, too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with T-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Hi, I'd like to report a bear sighting, as in Smokey Bear.
Continue.
I was burning yard waste. He told me to remember that if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
You know, 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
I know that now.
Thanks to me.
Actually, thanks to Smokey.
Get your Smokey on. Always burn responsibly and contact your local fire department for open burning regulations. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Fox News Radio, 1270.
Dreams. I have dreams. And I'm asleep, and you are in my dreams. You're underneath my skin. How am I so weak?
This is Marilyn York. You're back on my show, and again, we have Dorothy Nash Holmes running for local municipal court judge on the show today. Again, if you guys want to call her, 823-1920, 823-1920. And you can Facebook me. And those are the little blips you're hearing because we can't get the volume to listen to us on this computer here.
I wonder.
So these are my Facebook friends that are asking questions or posting comments. And so If you hear it, it's other people beating you to the punch. So get on it. So, Dorothy, what do you wish to change in the municipal court? What are you hoping to improve if you get elected?
There's some things I want to take a look at. They do have the drug court now. They've had it since 2001, finally. But for the first 7 years, they had no way to even gather statistics or track success. Now, that's crazy. Having written grants and gotten them funded, I know that you don't even implement a program until you have outcome measures. That's what evidence-based programming is all about, being able to prove it works. So apparently now they're getting some statistics, and we need to take a look at that. I want to look at how it's run. I have some concerns about the new prostitution court because
prostitution court? Because I can't stop laughing.
It's a specialty court designed to rehabilitate the hookers, I guess.
Which is so funny to me because prostitution's legal in Nevada. Just send them to a brothel.
Yeah.
But to rehabilitate a prostitute in a place where it's legal is weird to me.
Well, it's not legal in Washoe County or Clark County, but it's legal in the others by county option. But the whole point is that, they want to try to get them out of the business and into housing and jobs and job training, whatever. And they do HIV testing, which is important because it's a felony to have sex or even to solicit sex if you know you have HIV. That can be serious. Yeah, but from what I hear on the street, pardon expression, and from hookers.
Dorothy's got her ear to the prostitute street. Go, Dorothy.
What I hear is that nobody wants to be in it. They're saying, forget that. Just give me the max fine, judge, and let me out of here. And so if it's a solution without a problem, it's a waste of taxpayers' time and money. It's a waste of judges' money. And, we can't afford in this particular time in the economy, we can't afford to do things that are not necessary and cost effective. So I just want to take a look at that. Yeah. I think we're going to end up having to probably adjust the bail schedule and maybe having the legislature even look at fines and the city council and stuff because the economy is awful. Nevada has the highest unemployment in the country. It's among the states with the 5 highest foreclosure rates in the country. We lead the country in bankruptcy, and we cannot create a debtor's prison by putting people in jail just because they can't pay a fine on their traffic or their misdemeanor or their licensing violation. So that's going to be a huge issue. We're going to have to take a look at that. As it is, I'm concerned because I got some statistics from the jail. And for the particular month I looked at, which was April of 2010, there was 311 people sentenced from municipal court in jail, serving time in the Washoe County Jail, which we all pay for. And there was like 56 from another court, 67 from another court, 96 from, Reno Justice Court.
And do they have more cases in municipal court?
Well, no. At least not the statistics don't show that. I looked at the 2008 and 2009 reports from the Supreme Court on the judiciary, and I looked at all the courts, and the Reno Municipal Court judges are actually carrying a 7% smaller caseload than the average for all the other muni judges in the state of Nevada. So I don't know. I mean, we got good Reno cops, and they're busy, and maybe they're doing citations, but this was 311 people serving time on their sentence, and the average time they were serving was 125 days. Everybody else is, like I said, 56, 67, 97. So something's up, and we need to look at what's
getting
up.
A little too tough on crime, apparently, at this level.
Well, maybe. I don't know. And, I was a prosecutor for way too long. I'm not going to be soft on crime, but we need to be appropriate. The punishment has to fit the crime, and we have to be reasonable, and we have to recognize the economic times we're in.
Do the judges that we currently have on the bench in municipal court have the criminal background that you think they need to make the right decisions?
Well, a couple of them do. Ken Howard had about 6 years DA's office experience, and then he went into private practice for several years. The judge I'm running against was insurance counsel for the state and Department of Transportation. I think he did some pro tem judging and some judging on the Indian court, but not prosecution. Jay Dilworth had a year in the city attorney's office in Sacramento and a year or two in the city attorney's office in Reno and became a judge after that.
Yeah.
2 years as a lawyer is pretty amazing. I think Paul Hickman has had some time in the city attorney's office. But I will bring 25 years criminal justice experience because of my 33 years practicing law, 25 have been in various criminal justice positions. And right now I'm a special prosecutor on contract cases for the Judicial Discipline Commission,
Oh, okay.
Even making judges follow the rules. So if I'm elected, let me say when I'm elected.
Yeah.
Let's be positive here. I will bring more criminal justice experience than anybody that's ever served on this bench before.
And I like that your background is in a higher level, because to me, this is sort of the gateway of criminal behavior where they start here.
Absolutely.
And I think doing the larger crimes, you have the perspective to look backwards and say, this pattern is the kind of pattern that will lead to this larger crime, and this is the way we can combat it. Having seen some successful people say, oh, but for, you know, this sort of intervention early on, I would have ended up here.
Well, absolutely. And the fact that I have, in my first marriage, I ran away at 19 and married a guy I knew for 6 weeks. He was older. He was 28. He was good looking. Stupid mistake. I lived with it for 7 years, 9 months, and 18 days. But who's counting?
Wow.
But it turned out he was a raging alcoholic and he was a bully. He beat me up. And so I've experienced domestic violence. On the other end, I worked with prisoners for 7 years. I have seen what happens and what leads to what, and what situations people have gotten in because they reacted wrong. I mean, we got kids in prison because they shook their baby when they were mad at their about their video game, and they don't get the education in high school. I've always wanted to teach a class called Real World 101, you know, to teach them that you don't shake a baby. You shake their brains loose and then they're crippled the rest of their lives. But so I have the perspective to know that if you don't deal with domestic violence and family problems, it gets so much worse. If you don't deal with drugs and alcohol, it gets so much worse. And, you know, I mean, years ago, we had a very unfortunate situation where a judge let a guy batter out of jail early and he went and killed the girl.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, this has serious, serious consequences. And I feel like I have the perspective on that.
Well, you do. If you've had the personal experience, unfortunately for you, I do think that's one of the things that's missing. And while I don't ever want to sentence a human being, judge or otherwise, to being battered or getting divorced, I always say that the best experience our family court judges can ever bring to the table is having been divorced and having shared custody.
Exactly.
You cannot duplicate the emotion of exchanging a kid on Christmas Day with your arch enemy. And I have done it, although my ex-husband and I are best friends now. Yeah. It certainly wasn't our best day when we got divorced.
Well, that's rare that you're best friends, because I've been doing family law cases, you know, and I do construction defect.
She's been infected by it as well.
Well, I when I had my own practice after the DA's office, I had that for 3 years, and I swore I'd never do that again because I said I could fight over kids and money at home. But here I am years later back doing some family law and construction defect and all sorts of things. And it's extremely difficult. It is just heart-wrenching.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But it does help to, more than any other kind of experience, to have gone through it yourself personally.
Well, so, I really feel like I bring some good perspective that the court needs. You know, we need some real people on the court.
With an actual background in each of the trenches, as you say. Why not defend, though, Dorothy? Yeah.
I've never
done criminal defense.
No.
And you're at a firm that's well known for being a great criminal defense firm.
You know, I've been a prosecutor too long. I went to law school, actually, thinking I would be a civil rights lawyer and public defender. And then I worked for a summer in a public defender's office. And there was a horrible, horrible case that I helped tried to defend. And I couldn't do it. I found out it's against my nature. I'm too committed to personal responsibility and trying to solve the problem. And I just could not see trying to help people get off or trying to show that the cops were bad or that there was loopholes. I couldn't do it. I
respect that a lot. Yeah. I do. And I think it's unusual. And I always am surprised how people can switch sides.
Yeah.
And there's no side to mine. So I can't, you know, imagine doing it. But it's very interesting. So I wanted to ask you your feelings on that.
Well, the other thing is in the defense attorneys and defendants out there shouldn't be afraid of me, because I really feel that having worked in Department of Corrections for 7 years and set up rehabilitative programming, and I personally taught, I mean, I taught the psychologists and the social workers and the counselors, the whole thing about correctional programming and what works and best practices to try to get them switched over from the bars and bullets attitude to doing something with these people. And so I'm very committed to that. And I've really seen both sides of it.
Absolutely. You just don't want to do it.
Right. Exactly.
We have a break coming up. So let's hear from our sponsors and we'll be back in a moment to talk to Dorothy about a few more things that she plans to do on the municipal court panel. Talk to you guys soon.
There's a lot going on right here in Nevada. Rather than just hear about it, talk about it. 6 to 10 weekdays, Fox 1270 in the morning.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows, with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools, and order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night, and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. These shocking statistics do go on. And yet, in the context of divorce and separation, 50% of mothers see no value in the father's continued contact with their children. 40% of mothers report that they have interfered with their father's visitation solely to punish their ex. We can help you protect your children from being a part of these statistics, even when their mothers won't. Our courts do care about you and your children. At a minimum, you need legal advice when you're going through something like this, and you may need representation. If you do, call me, Marilyn York, at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit our website at marilynyork.net.
There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno, the legendary Mustang Ranch Museum, Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes, and they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and his ladies, among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1424. Walk-ins are welcome, too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with T-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us.
Paul, honey, how you feeling today?
Okay, a bit tired.
Well, it's normal after your surgery. Remember, the doctor said we need to be careful so you don't get a blood clot in your legs.
Right. Honey, will you please help me raise my leg up to help with the blood flow?
Of course, honey. And remember, if you have any swelling or pain in your leg, we'll call the doctor immediately.
For your free copy of A Guide to Prevent Blood Clots, call 1-800-358-9295. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Fox 1270.
She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus, in America too. She's a good girl, is crazy about Elvis, loves horses, and her boyfriend too.
You're back on the Marilyn York Show, and again, we have Dorothy Nash Holmes in the studio. And Dorothy, we had an interesting call on during our show who left a question to be asked by me. And so Dorothy and I were just talking about it, and he was under the impression that Dorothy had sex with an employee when she worked as the district attorney and that she got in trouble for it. And then apparently there's a real story, and Dorothy's going to address this.
No, the actual story is that when I was the district attorney, I ended up having to fire one of the deputies because he had sex with a woman that she was a victim of domestic violence. He handled case. They had an affair. And actually, she called me up and to tell me about it and get him in trouble and said they'd even had sex on my desk. And I went, oh.
Did you wipe it up with you know, Lysol or some killing
heavy
material.
Heavy disinfectants. Yeah, so he ended up not getting to be a prosecutor anymore, and she had some mental issues. There was a lot of stuff going on there, but it was in the newspaper. It was
that's what
it
he
was
said
quite
it was in the
funny.
Newspaper, but it wasn't you.
No, it wasn't me. It was a deputy working for me who
that's
ended up not working for
not
me
acceptable.
Anymore. No, that's
as much as I actually condone sex on the desks for those of my employees who are listening. Get on that, girls. Except not in front of the clients, not with the clients, and not on the glass desks.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to see that imprint later, or have you fall through the glass.
She tried to tell me that it was the county's responsibility, and I said that is above and beyond the scope of his employment.
Yeah, weird that he's not paid to sleep with you, ma'am. It's not part of the rehabilitation you're speaking to.
But it was interesting. Oh, someday I'm going to write a book about all the stuff that happened when I was DA, because it would blow people away. You just have no idea.
Love to hear that and read that. 823-1920. You guys have about 5 minutes to call in if you have any additional questions or want to know about Dorothy's sex life, like the last caller. Just kidding. Don't encourage it. So what else did you want to say? Let's get back to a serious note. Is there anything else that you want to speak to with regard to municipal court and the important things that they're doing? I know on your website, for example, backlogged warrants were a concern.
Well, yeah. One of the goals of the court that was listed, it's not listed anymore, is that they had several thousand warrants that have never been arrested, you know, and that creates a backlog. When I became the DA, we found there was something like 30,000 that the state had. The oldest warrant we found was something Bill Raggio had done in the 1950s. It was John Doe trespassing warrant where a guy stepped over this lady's little white picket fence.
Oh, God.
Now, come on. John Doe trespassing warrant from 1950? No, I mean, people get arrested on that kind of stuff, and that takes away time and resources from really important stuff. So we need to find out what that is and fix it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a problem. I want to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing in DUI. I mean, we read in the paper that for years the courts didn't know that there was a requirement to put the interlock device on. So we want to make sure we stay on top of that stuff. I really think that the Muni Court needs to work with the rest of the court system and put in some kind of, promote some sort of intermediate sanctions program, because having worked in corrections and seen how crowded our prisons were and what the people that are in there, we've got to find something else to do. America is the most incarcerating country in the world, and Nevada is one of the most incarcerating states. And there are other solutions that aren't as expensive to the taxpayer. And as non-beneficial to the community.
One of my concerns about drug court, going back to something we touched on earlier, seems to be that drug court isn't random in their drug testing like it needs to be. Because in family court, we randomly drug test, and it's random. I mean, I issue the orders, so I pick random. Oh, hey, it was a holiday, but you were partying, and that's my favorite random move. But in drug court, they tell you every Wednesday, for example, you're going to be tested. And then in actual drug court, when you go to court services and get tested, they tell you in advance what times and days. And maybe it's not a ton of advanced warning, but it's predictable.
Yeah.
I know that they probably do that for the system to make it work, but I also worry that they're doing it to make their statistics look inflated in their success to keep getting grants. I don't know if that's just jaded, but I know all the drug cleaning agents that you can get at the melting pot.
Sure.
For example.
Yeah.
So my concern is the effectiveness. To make it effective, does it need to be more random? And how do we do that?
Well, part of the issue is how they test as well. I mean, you know, marijuana, any of the drugs stay in your system for a while. It stays in your hair longer than it does in your bloodstream or in your urine. So it depends on what they test that you could catch, you know, long time and prior use.
Sure.
On the other hand, I think you got to look at what is cost effective and what is real. And I agree with you. I mean, if it isn't random, then they got nothing to worry about. They can fix the schedule. They can go down and buy the urine luck.
They don't watch. That's what I mean. They don't watch them urinate either. Yeah. And I mean, actually, not that I want that job, by the way, in case there's applications out there.
No,
I don't
want
to watch people pee.
No, thanks.
But
no.
I
that
need
won't be
them
part
to...
of drug court for me either.
I'd love it when they use someone else's pee and they test dirty for something else. Like, well, I don't actually smoke pot. I use meth, but my daughter smokes pot and I used her pee. pee.
I mean, and literally, they sell stuff that, they you do. Know, they, that...
Fake pee with oh, a heater pee, to make
yeah.
it warm.
It's amazing.
In a bag.
I'm astounded at that kind of stuff. I've
Why is that
more...
legal to sell? There's no legitimate use for fake pee. Let me
yeah, I think that would almost come under paraphernalia, you know?
Yeah.
It's amazing. But no, there's a lot of ways around it. But, you know, I think we have to be practical about what we do and we have to be smart. You know, there... We, for years ago in corrections, we got rid of do-it-yourself treatment on the computer. I mean, yeah. obviously, why would an inmate, you know, give bad answers? I mean, it was ridiculous. It was so unreliable. And, you know, there's a do-it-yourself evaluation that's on the website for Reno Municipal Court. And I don't know if that costs very much, but I can't imagine how it's real effective. But who
yeah.
knows?
Of course, you can get the recipe for meth off the internet, too. So
yeah.
we
Lovely.
Can't control it very well.
Lovely.
Well, if people have questions for you, I know that you're an avid Facebook user now. So that's
I
a good
am.
Place for you listeners to go. If you want to ask Dorothy a question not on the air on my show, feel free to. She's quite proficient at it. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Dorothy. It was really informative for me as well. And as much as I'm an attorney and should know a lot more than I do, I'm America's dumbest lawyer in some instances. Even though I've been to Muni Court for tickets with a client, and Dorothy and I were laughing, but I had a client who got a ticket on the way to my office because they had an emergency hearing, and she drug me to court to tell the judge it was basically my fault or vouched that she was coming to my office late. And he was like, is this true, Marilyn? I'm like, yes, it's true. Do you give a crap? This is embarrassing. Yeah.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity. And I hope that everybody that's out there will vote. You've got until October 12th to carry in your, you mail it in by October 2nd, carry it in October 12th. And
yeah.
vote on election day. It's important.
That's the only voting I ever worry about personally is judges, to be honest. Maybe governor and president. That's it. Otherwise, I just don't worry about it. I'm not saying you should do that. This is Fox News. But next week, we're going to have Jeff Giles on to talk about foreclosure and bankruptcy, one of the topics that Dorothy touched on today. So tune in and get on the MarilynYorkShow.com at any time. Thanks so much.